Co, and I'm filling in for Billy Broom this week as she is in Israel. So anyway, we've been talking about love. We've talking about love. We can't separate it from Christ and who we are in Him and what He has done through us, and how this love relationship of Him revealing Himself to us grows so many things. How I'm reminded of how Brother Wiseman came to Prayer Mountain. He was led of the Lord, and the Lord had him on what he called intimate praying. And this intimate praying was basically you fellowshipping with the Lord, and not with any agenda, no prayer requests or anything like that, but just developing who you are in Him, knowing what He has done in you, through you, and that when God, through the Holy Spirit, raised up Christ from the dead, He did it through you, and you are one in Him. And it's the last prayer that our Savior prayed for us as He was getting ready to go into His role as High Priest. And so it is being one in Him. And that all of it brings, and why do we have this? Is to bring, show His glory to the world, and His love through the world, and this great revival awakening that we are coming to is a demonstration of His love. Is John 17 prayer to the world, and through that are His gifts in full operation. The gifts of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit are gifts from Christ to His bride. It says in the book of Ephesians that the Holy Spirit is the earnestness of our redemption. We know that is our final redemption, but we also know it is through our glorification until we are a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, manifesting His glory, His power to the world, going right on up to meet Him in the clouds. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Does that not excite you? It sure does me. And that all prayer, all gifts, all things in the new covenant is about Jesus. Not about you. It's about Him in you. You and Him, but not about you. I'm telling you, when I got the revelation, when it wasn't about me, when I had to teach or preach, boy, that took a lot of pressure off. All I had to do was get before Him, pray those Ephesians prayers, just say, Father, not what you want, or not what, excuse me, not what I want, but what is myself wants, not my soul, but my spirit in you. What do you want? When I speak, I want to speak as you speak. And you know what? It took it all out. All I have to do is give Him, let Him do it and take over. And our services have been, to me, gone from like a 5 to a, I don't know, a 20 or up. It's amazing. It's what God can do when you just yield to Him and you flow through this love and you see yourself as one in Him and Him in you. Don't see yourself, pastors, as someone separate, but see Him as Jesus speaking to those sheep. Hallelujah. So anyway, going along those lines, as we were talking about these gifts of the Spirit and how they are, the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit are like when... compared to when the servant of Abraham gave Rebekah those beautiful gifts. And one of the most things to be understand about these gifts as is the purpose of any love gift is for the recipient is to never put the gift before the giver. Hallelujah. Remember these gifts are Jesus. These are to make the bride like Him, in Him. One in him and us. It's for the demonstration of his power. It's the demonstration of his glory. Oh, hallelujah. There is a great danger. This is Donald G. saying, when only the divine giver can satisfy the spirit, not his gifts, not just his gifts. It's him. So don't separate the gifts from Jesus. It is a divine manifestation, as F.F. Bosworth spoke about, of his compassion, of his love, of his demonstrations, of his manifestations, all from his redemption for his body, but for the world to see. And that's what John 17 said. It said for them to know, to see your God, that they would see your love, that the love that you gave me, that love would operate in them. What is that love? That's the manifestations and the demonstrations of his power. Those are the miracles. Those are the demonstrations of the gifts of the Spirit flowing, that flowed through Jesus, that love. Hallelujah. And because we have that Spirit in us, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in us, and of that power, that we will even do greater things in these as we flow in this, as we operate in this, as we move in this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Urabashite lapa. Hallelujah. So only the divine giver can satisfy the Spirit. It is to remember that the particular manifestation given to the individual, back to Donald G. on his book concerning spiritual gifts, is to be remembered that the particular manifestation given to the individual is only bestowed because that person is a member of the whole body. This is the great theme of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The key is related to the church as the body. The edification of the church is the true aim. This is in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12. The ultimate thought is the spiritual gifts are in the church rather than in the individual. I've noticed myself that I will operate more in the spirit, and as I give myself to him, I will operate more there. And if I don't get to in my church, if your pastor doesn't understand those things, you can do it in your bedroom. And you can flow in that in your place. And I guarantee you, God has a place for you to operate in. You know, but the church individually and corporately is to be a place where those things can be manifested in. And so if your church doesn't, remember in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, you can pray that for your pastor. You can pray that for your church, and you will begin to see things move and operate. And pastors, if you don't operate in these things, pray that prayer over you and see yourself operating in this. And so back to the edifying, that all the gifts are to be edifying. Donald G. says the golden rule in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It says, let all things be done to edifying. That is the principal thing. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, it's so interesting that the love chapter, you have the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. And then you have the operation of those gifts. In fact, I suggest we have talking about protocol, I guess you could say, on how to work in those gifts is 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And Brother Jordan and Ron Smith, Joe Jordan and Ron Smith, they come every year and they teach a Holy Spirit school, and they kind of key in on 1 Corinthians 14 about pastors, how you can operate in wisdom, see, in wisdom and these gifts and these manifestations of the Spirit. And I, any of those Holy Ghost schools that you can call our ministry, and they can tell you, all of them, they anyone you get, they talk about this, how to operate in this. But anyway, the golden rule of the gifts is love. And you even see that Paul puts it right smack in there. He says, observance of this rule and principle will cure practically every misuse of the gifts of the Spirit. I'll give you one. Love prefers another person. Sometimes, you know, someone has something from the Holy Spirit, but they just feel like it has to come out now. Well, love prefers the Holy Spirit and is patient and it is kind. And so here we are back to, it's all about love. It's all about Jesus flowing in this. Hallelujah. And the nine gifts flowing with the nine fruits. Donald G. talks about in 1 Corinthians 13, he talks about the love chapter. And then Paul, 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13, verse 10, he says, that which is perfect is come. Paul's talking, that which is perfect is come. The whole passage strongly proves that we should expect, this is Donald G., from his book Concerning Spiritual Gifts, the whole passage strongly proves that we should expect spiritual gifts to remain right up until the end of this age because of their divine purpose will not be achieved until that which is perfect is come. That moves us right up to Him, operating as one, seeing Him face to face. Isn't that neat? So in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, it talks about love. And then in verse 10, it says, I don't have that right in front of me right now, but it says the whole passage, but it says, that which is perfect is come. And that which is perfect is come, Moses, will not be achieved until that. In other words, it talks about knowledge will end and different things will end, tongues will end, but love will never end. So we're back to love again. But until that which is perfect is come. And so that which is perfect is come moves us right on up to operating the church, to the glorification of the church, seeing Him, being with Him face to face, the glorification of Him, one in one, one in Him, Him and us, the total glorification of the church. Hallelujah. So we know it's not over. We're not even close to that. That word perfect means it's the Greek word teleios, teleios, and it means brought to its end, finished, wanting nothing, necessary to completeness, perfect, consummate, human integrity and virtue, full grown adult, a full age mature. So we see that until that which is perfect is come, that which we have risen into maturity, that which God has fitly joined us together, that every joint supplies, that which the fivefold ministry operating and how God has ordained them to operate, that and the nine gifts operating in the church, flowing through the church, and all of it is about Jesus. All of it is about love. All of it is about the new covenant, the new testament of His death, burial, resurrection, seated at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. And that we work with Him, we operate Him through the avenue of the Holy Spirit. All of this is for Ephesians 4. The knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man. God bless you. We thank you for everything you do, your part. Shalom, shalom.